Hello, I'm Jill Whitmore Welsh, and welcome to this audio recording in the Body Sensing and Movement Awareness series. This recording isn't designed to be a medical treatment, it's not designed to be a therapy, and it certainly is not designed to be in place of you going and getting advice from a doctor, a physician, GP, or a consultant. So, if you're going to be doing these activities, then you certainly don't stop consulting with your specialists. In fact, you ensure that if you're going to undertake any process and you're not sure whether or not you're suitable to do it, then you should always check and make sure. So this short podcast today is really around this whole area of movement and exercise and efficacy with low back pain. So exercise is a really, really important part of preventing low back pain. And research has shown that exercise in combination with what's called education, which means teaching, is likely to reduce the risk of low back pain. And also that exercise even on its own might reduce the risk of an episode of low back pain and having to have time off work for a short period of time. Now, exercise is something that perhaps people can associate with particular, if you like, visual or physical situations and circumstances. And it's not always that people think of the word exercise and go, hey, yay, yippee, let's do some exercise. So if you're one of those people for whom the idea of doing strong physical exercise, going to the gym, working out, having some sort of powerful structure to your day, if this is something that really doesn't appeal to you, then I would urge you to review some of the small podcasts that there are, the short podcasts that there are here on this site, and to take some of them and to just listen to them first in your imagination, perhaps do the movements. And as I've already said, if you've got any queries or questions and you're not sure, you can always write down some of the details and ask your doctor if it's okay for you to do this. If you've had an illness, or if you've had an injury, if you're resting and recovering, then it's really important to make sure you don't do things, the wrong things at the wrong time. But it is important when you are recovering that you begin to start to build up your resilience and your capability to do what you did before. So when you're beginning to start to do movements and exercises and you're beginning to use some of these podcasts, how is it that these podcasts can be helpful for you? Now, the research shows that education, learning, is a very, very important part of preventing back pain. Now, if you want to learn about something, that means that you need to undertake a process of exploration. And in order to explore, you need to have very clear goals around what it is that you want to find out. So how are you going to know if you've discovered something, unless you've actually set yourself a clear target of what it is that you want to achieve? So when you want to learn about your body and how you can move your body, how you can use your body in a different way, perhaps from the way that you did before that caused you to injure yourself, the first fundamental principle that we follow in this kind of work is that we work with assisting you to be aware of what your habits are, so what your natural tendency is. So I'll give you an example of that now. So if you come to sit on the edge of the chair and just find yourself a comfortable place to be, just sit naturally. And sit with your back not supported by the backrest, so that you've got a part of you perched towards the edge, obviously nice and stable. what I'd like you to do is just begin to start to turn, turn to one side to look behind you. Right, so just begin to start to turn, to look behind you. Just idly notice how far you can see, what sort of landmarks you can turn around to, so just do this gently. Coming back to the beginning, so repeating this little movement of turning. And do that a few times and then stop, and then ask yourself the question of which direction did I turn towards? Did I turn to my right? Or did I turn to my left? Now, at the beginning of this lesson, I didn't say to you, turn to your right, turn to your left. So what was it that caused you to make that choice to turn in the direction that you did? Was it that there was a constraint? Perhaps something was more interesting to look at to the right or the left? Was it that you actually physically couldn't turn yourself one way or another because perhaps you've got a reduction of movement in one direction and so it was easier to go the other way? But one of the most important things to remember with any process when you begin to start to explore is that you will almost certainly make the choice to go down the route that seems to be the most average, the most commonplace, the one that you tend to do. And if there were to be a goal in any of these lessons, or if I was to say that the people who do these lessons were to have any goal, it can be that one of the goals with people who do these lessons is to develop more symmetry. So it might be that somebody is doing a very symmetrical sport, say if they're running, on a track, or if they are somebody who likes to compete to a high level, they might want to see if they can be working towards developing more symmetry so that when they move one side of their body and the other side of the body, say if they're going to be running, as they run and they bring, say, their right arm and their left leg forwards, and then they switch over when they perform the other part of the gait cycle and they bring their left arm and right leg forwards, they might want to be wanting to develop symmetry in those two particular patterns of self-use, because they might consider that that's going to give them a more a better outcome. So if there's somebody who does weight training, lifts weights, and they lift free weights, they might want to have symmetrical movements so that as they crouch and squat and bend, their weight is on both feet equally, and that the movement is in a certain direction, a path through space, and that as they go to lift, they lift with both arms at the same time, and they would perhaps be looking at some sort of symmetry. So symmetry is perhaps one element that some people doing lessons may be looking to achieve longer term, but at the start, most people coming into using any of these forms of movement work, any of these forms of exploration, will be wanting to explore, to find out more about what it is that they do in terms of a habit. So coming to this interesting idea that exercise can be protective against, for example, low back pain. When we are doing movement, any form of movement can be considered to be an exercise. So any physical interaction with the environment we could call exercise. We can break exercise down into different kinds of exercise. So we can have exercise which is designed to increase our aerobic capacity and endurance. We can have exercise which is designed to increase our muscle bulk and our power. We can have exercise that's perhaps targeted more towards increasing our capability to perform different forms of movement. We might call it flexibility, so the capability to be able to crouch and squat and move our legs apart and lengthen our limbs away from our body. So movement itself is going to achieve different things. The physical movements that we do are going to achieve different things. But where these kinds of explorations, these kinds of small podcasts and lessons can come in very powerfully is that you can use these lessons to enable you to discover more about yourself and your asymmetries, your asymmetrical, your, if you like, unbalanced patterns of doing things. So when you came to sit on the edge of the chair and I asked you to turn to one side, the choice about where you turned was down to you. Now, if you discover through doing a lesson, for example, some of the lessons on scanning, where you are finding out how your body is resting on the floor, what the similarity is, say, between the resting position of your right leg and the resting position of your left leg. In terms of perfection, if somebody is an athlete who wants to be achieving as near to symmetry as possible, so they want to have the muscles on the right arm built up to the same degree as the muscles on the left arm, right leg, left leg, they want to be able to turn out their right leg to the same extent as their left leg, they want to be able to stand and balance on their left leg or right leg in exactly the same way. They want to be able to spin to their right and spin to their left. If somebody is that dedicated to wanting to develop this aspect of symmetry, then if they were to lie on the floor, it's probable that their contact with the floor would be more symmetrical. So the turnout of the right foot and the turnout of the left foot, or the turn in, or whatever, the contact that they're making is almost certain to be perhaps more similar. Now, if as someone who perhaps doesn't focus their attention a great deal on being an athlete, who just goes about life being physically active, maybe does some everyday exercise, taking the dog out for walks, walking around the supermarket, maybe going for a little jog, maybe going dancing, maybe doing, you know, 45 minutes, a couple of times a week of exercise, a bit of flexibility, a bit of stretching. If you lie on the floor, it would almost certainly be that you'd find that there would be a tendency for one side, one pattern on one side, to be very different from the pattern on the other side. And this is perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal for somebody to find that it's easier, let's say, to turn to the right than it is to turn to the left. Or that it's easier for them to scratch between, you know, the middle of their shoulder blades if they reach their hand up behind their back. It's easier to scratch with one hand than it is with the other. One arm more easily seems to go up behind their back than the other arm. And a lot of times, the reason these things are easier is purely and simply because of habits. And so when we talk about doing exercise, then I think it's really important to decide what you would like to do, because education and learning are something which needs to be self-directed. So if you want to discover about your own patterns of self-use and find out for yourself what it is that you tend to do, and one of the ways to do this is to get to be interested in it. Because if I gave an exercise sheet to 100 people with drawings of stick men on it and explain to them how to do the exercises in 2 minutes. So do it like the diagram, do this 10 times, 3 times a day. And then I videoed all of those people doing the movements. They would all be doing things slightly differently. They would all get down onto the floor in a different way. They would all lie on the floor and make contact with the floor in a different way. And some of them might well find that if they did the movements like the little diagram, that they'd actually hurt themselves. And what do I mean by hurting themselves? I mean, they might be so keen to try and achieve what the shape of the picture looks like that they actually might not realise that in doing that, they're going against something that they're used to doing. So these forms of movement explorations are about you and your body, your, if you like, psychophysiological state, the way you feel on the day. And you can use these processes to make lots and lots of shifts and changes, but you can also use them as an educational process. So if this is interesting and if it's something you'd like to take further, then have a little look through some of these free podcasts. If you're not quite sure if something will apply for you, you can always send me a message. You can join the Facebook group, which is the Feldenkrais Download Project. If you go onto Facebook and you put Feldenkrais Download Project, you can find more of these little pod beans, these free little pod beans. If you just put Feldenkrais Downloads Pod Beans and my name, which is Jill Wigmore Welsh, in on any of the search engines, I'll show up and you can click through. Or you can visit my artofhumanbeing.uk website, which has got a small shop area. There are links there to the free podcasts. There's also a contact me box that you can use. You can get in touch with me there and you can send me a message. And I will quite happily see you here in Reading in Berkshire or up in London. And also I provide Skype supported coaching sessions to enable people to make changes. But I hope this is helpful. There's a very interesting publication that's just come out recently, and I'll put a link to the publication up underneath this particular podcast on the Feldenkrais Download page. And as I say, if you want to get in touch with me, you've got my contact phone number 07885 467 466, and I'm just signing off. But as I say, good news is, we all know exercise can help to prevent low back pain, but exercise doesn't have to be hard exercise. Exercise can be all manner of things, and if you'd like some advice on how to prevent your back pain and how to not have a recurrence, then do give me a call. Take care.